Whom Day and others become millionaires from mining stock. How a contractor makes good when he hits Spokane. A black North Carolinian who makes good in Brewster, Washington. How two wives fool their husbands in a brothel. The first thing I want to ask you about is Joe Wells, who they, you know, the Negro, Joe Wells.
Yeah.
Now, are you from the same Wells family that came out to Deary and lived out there? Now, how are you all related to them?
Well, now, the other two that come out here, you know, they run a blacksmith shop up there, Simone and Deary, you've heard of that. Uh-huh. Well, they're distant cousins of mine.
So, did you know Joe Wells?
The nigger?
Yeah.
Well, I guess his daddy raised him. I knew his daddy in North Carolina, and he raised him, and the boys, both of them wanted to come west, and the old man had quite a little land. He went and raised Joe as a slave, and he went and sold some of that land, and he went and divided the money with the three of them, said Joe helped raise make it just as well as his own two sons, and here they all come to Idaho.
Well, was he Joe's slave before the Civil War? Was Joe his slave before the Civil War?
When he was his old man's slave during the war and so forth. And then when he freed, he stayed right on with him, you know.
Was he this man's slave or was he his father's slave?
Well, I don't know so much about that, but then he was a slave and was raised by the old man, you know.
So he stayed on and he became like one of the family?
Well, anyhow, he adopted the name as well, as you know. Just by his own idea.
So he treated Joe pretty good?
Yeah, good, like his own two boys. Now, they finally quit the business up there in Deary. The blacksmiths many years and so forth. Well, they knew Bob West, a small North Carolina, there several lived here at the time. So they wrote Bob West wanted to come up, wanted to see him. Well, Bob went, he didn't know what had on his mind. But anyway, when they went up anyway, stayed all night and talked all night. Next day, after breakfast, boy, they told me why I come from. One of them wanted to be staying at home, but the other wanted to come to town and bring their money to put it in the bank. And they wanted him to be with them, and so they come down with over $10,000 in gold and put it in the bank.
Who had the money to put in the bank? Bob West or the boy or the Wells boys?
Wells boys.
Okay.
And so then they went and sold out up there, and then they bought a little place, you know, where that place first, where the tunnel goes through the railroad here going from Moscow, you know?
Yeah.
Where that hill is at. Well, when you go on top of that hill, the first house right there, you know, little 40 acres, where they bought that there and lived there until their death, you know, before their death. But they had to have moved to another place, live and take care of them. There, you know, pay them well for taking care of them.
So they had a good blacksmith business up there in Deary?
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, God Almighty, they brought down 10,000 in gold at one time, and nobody else knew about it. But actors, and so they were talking to me later.
Well, now,
says, you know, this, if Wells gets you in trouble, why, the others help him out. Says, how are you fixed him? I says, I don't need any help. Well, they left it to their sister, you know, they had a sister. And so she got their wealth, you know, where she's all passed away. And that's the way of it.
Now you say, what was the man's name that the Wells that brought up Joe Wells, that took care of Joe Wells? What was his name?
His name was Wells.
No, what was his first name?
The old man?
Yeah.
I forgot during the fact to say for certain what.
But now you say, did he help bring you up too? The same guy?
Me?
Yeah.
The old man?
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm from a different family entirely.
Entirely different family.
Oh, way from me.
Did you know about them being out here when you came out here?
Well, God, yes, I knew when they left to come here. Yeah. Yeah. Told them goodbye when they come to Idaho. Several others too. A lot of them come.
Did their coming out here have anything to do with your landing up here?
Well, I don't know. It's to that, but quite a few others had come out here and scattered all over the West in all different places. Very, very different places, as I knew. And so things, I was grown, I went to high school and then went to college 2 years. And so I had some money, and made some money. In the cattle business, buying young cattle, you know, and go away from home 20, 30, 40 miles away, and these young calves is up full, you know, pretty good size. I'd buy six or eight at a time, start home with them, and some of them cattle men would stop me, want to buy them, and I'd sell them. I'd go back and do the same trick right over again. I made some money, but a bunch of them made up their mind they wanted to come west. Well, I think silver. Oh, I guess I just want to go out and see how it looks out west, too. So four or five of us made up their mind to come, and by God, that's what we did. Some of them dropped off in Colorado, others come on over here to Rob Colfax. Well, a bunch of us, four or five of us, went on to Seattle. We left to Knoxville, Tennessee, or left Asheville, North Carolina, the 17th of March, 1902. Come up. Well, come to Seattle. And things never could be any worse over there with all that rainy weather, you know. No jobs at all. All that rain, I got so disgusted with it that I made up my mind I was going to find some place different. Well, I come on over here to Spokane, and I was looking at the Northern Pacific map, railroad map, and it spoke about Moscow and Juliet and Lewis. I said, God, I know some people it's all those places. I'm going down there to see if I can find them. Well, I come down here and I found them. Well, I wasn't here very long. I got a job in the implement store right where the Safeway store, where the J.C. Penney.
Mm-hmm.
Got a job.
Is that Shields then?
Shields.
What was the name of the place then? The name of the store?
Well, M.J. Shields owned it. He owned a lot of land around here over too. Mm-hmm. And he had a little old electric light plant down there where Mark Miller's mill was at down mm-hmm. there. And he had running it, you know. And of course, town wasn't very big. But they run a little electric light plant down there. And here, I worked for him for quite a little while. He got in a carload of coal, and rain was just pouring the last for a couple of days, and hell, he needed it unloaded down there. Couldn't find anyone to get in that rain to do it, so he found one man to do it, help unload it, and I'd have to go and help him. I told him, me going by, work close to that rain to do that. I said, yes. I said, well, you go to hell. It's what you do. So I had more money. so I wasn't giving good to them. But I told someone, I said, you know, I had rooms staying here, a place. I said, you know, I'm going to take a little trip and just down to Portland and see how, what Portland looks like. It was winter time, it wasn't cold. Well, I went to Portland. I think Sam Hill, I never saw Los Angeles yet. Went on down to Los Angeles.
But you came back.
Yeah, I stayed down in the quiet. I had friends that lived over in Arizona, Prescott, Arizona. But I over visited them. And I turned around and come back here. Well, I let my folks know, my mother and brother, so they sold out North Carolina and come here. And we bought a, mother bought a place out here at Moscow Mountain. It's just barely out of the prairie, just in the timber, just edge of the timber. There's a lot of places here that's for sale, for that matter, but he took a lot of money. And when he didn't have it, well, you couldn't buy big places. So bought that place, and there's an old house on it, fixed it up to live in for a couple of years, and went bailing, running the bailer, harvesting, made money, built a house, built out a few of those trees where I wanted to build a house, and built a good house.
Did you cut any wood to sell in Moscow? A lot of people in the mountain cut wood, didn't they?
Yeah, I cut quite a lot of too. Mm-hmm.
Did you come into town and sell it?
Yeah. And I used that to buy fence posts to put around that 80, and two or three rows of barbed wire to make fence around it. Fix it up out there. No. Built a home, built a barn, took out a lot of goddamn money right then, you know. $2,200 for that house. And farmed it for, had cleared up out of that land. Got about 40 acres more cleared up and all told. So mother wanted to sell out. So sold out, coming down here. And I strolled down the street, and Herman Wilson was running a little old grocery store over there near across the street over there by the big dry goods store over there. So he told me he bought a little plant down here on West 8th Street and was going into the pea business a Monday. Well, I told him I'd come down, go to work. I went down and worked for him 19 years.
He made a big business out of that, didn't he?
You're damn right. One time he had 125 of us at work. At one time there, working day and night, you know. Busier than hell, was getting in peas and shipping out, you know. And they started to manufacture the split peas business, you know. A man got him, told him how, and he went into that business. Done a lot of packages, you know, sell it all, stuff, selling it all over. And so kept that up for a number of years. Finally, things went to hell entirely. Then he died, you know, and another fella, son-in-law, tried to run his firm and didn't know a damn thing about it. And my folks sold out here and they went to California. I was in California to save everybody from hell.
You say you wouldn't live in California to save everybody from hell?
No, I would. There's no money in the banks, but I got hired me to save amongst that goddamn conglomeration of all the nationalities this side of hell right there. And mixed up with. It isn't a decent place for a white person to live, whatever.
What did you do in the seed company? What was your job there for all those years?
Well, I different things, you know. I just, if one person is sick at the place, is that person, I take his place, we got another one. I looked after, I've done so many, many things, you know, many things. And so this year, fellow down here near Pullman raised many peas, but he had contracted Herman to buy peas from him. He brought in his load. When he did, well, I took a look, I said, "Say, you know, by God, Herman could use those sacks. How many you got at home of that kind?" "It's got quite a lot." I said, "Well, God, Herman could use them again." So I told him, bring them in, and I showed them to him. I brought them in, showed them to him. Well, he was hunting up everybody that had any of those sacks, and they just got all kinds of sacks.
What kind of sacks were they? Were they pea sacks?
Yeah.
Being used again?
Yeah, used again.
Save money?
Oh, yeah. He got them for half price now. Paid them half price. What to do on those? And they were just as good as new. Some of them had holes in, had women patching them. And they shipped them out, carloads after carloads, two, three carloads at a time. Get loaded up and they go out with it.
How did his business get so big? Was it just that he was the first one to try to do it, or how did he get so successful?
Well, he's the first one that started in that way. And he done awfully goddamn well. Awfully goddamn well. And then things finally went to the dogs, you know. And I was in Hollywood eating a meal down there on a short visit. And this fellow said, told me he was going to have something special today. And I said, "Now what's that?" "Going to have pea soup." I went laughing. He says, "What are you laughing about?" I said, "I know the company manufactures that, and it's only one company that does that. And I've worked for him 12 years. Do you think I care anything about pea soup that you're looking at and looking at for 12 years? Would you?" Well, he said, "See, I'm going after my boss right now." He went after him and told him, "Come over here." He told him about me. So he took my name and said he had three other restaurants in Spokane or Los Angeles, and he was buying them in small packages, costing so much. Well, he took it up, my name, and took it up and wrote to him here and bought a whole lot of several snack loads, half a car loads or nearly from.
Listen, Elmer, I want to ask you a little more about Joe Wells, about Nigger Joe. Yeah. Now, what kind of a guy was he? What do you know about him? Joe Wells, out here in Deary.
You want a nigger?
Yeah.
Well, he went and got married and raised up a bunch of them, you know. And some of them may be living yet, for all I know. I lost all track of them for that matter, you know. For there wasn't anything to me, you know. I had enough troubles of my own. I couldn't be fooling with that. As I come out here first, well, I didn't like Seattle, so I come over to Spokane, and I knew people that lived at Loomis, Washington. Do you know where that's at?
Yeah.
I thought I'd go up in that country and see what that looked like. When I went out on a train, to first it could be on Wilbur Hartline's Coulee City out there, where the train went. And I took a bus there and went from there over to Rooster. Took another bus there, going on up to Conconola and then to Loomis. Well, in the meantime, there's a man, some of my friends was working up there, little Brewster, at Polk's Flat, working on a ranch, and his bachelor there had an awful fine orchard and doing awful well on it. So he told them boys that he got awful tired of bachelor. Didn't they know some young nigger, good working nigger, and his wife, they hired him to come out here and work for him. Said they knew just exactly what he wanted. Told him about it. His wife was an awful good cook, so forth, and so was he. And he worked for us at home quite a lot. And I took time to learn to read and write. He was a good worker, nigger. So this fellow here wrote to me about it. Said that he'd give him $700 a year and pay all the expenses out here and so forth for the first year. And if there's a satisfactory way, he raised the wage. So back in Salem lifted up me what to do. I told him, go. I said, all the other niggas around here are real relation. All of them are on starvation.
This was Joe Wells you were talking to.
No, I was talking to another man in town.
Another man in town here?
No, up in Brewster, Washington.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So who was the Negro that he wanted? It wasn't Joe Wells he wanted. It was somebody else, eh?
Well, he wanted this man to come and work for him, you know. These boys gave him my address. Well, I got it. So I asked him what Sally Beck thought about it. Well, said he's going to leave it up to me to decide. I said, well, I'll tell you, I'd go. You go out there for a year. If you don't like it, you can come back. I said, I think you can't do very good here. Well, he went out there and he liked it so goddamn well. He got his father on a homestead, joined him right there. He had a fine office. Orchard had been making a lot of money off of it.
Hi.
So, anyway.
Here, I'll move this.
No, that's all right. I'll be out of here in this.
Called Brewster Flats. They told me that about 3 miles up from here, it's Forks of the Road, and there's a mile and a half south of there, Brewster Flats was. Mm-hmm. That's all I ask. Mm-hmm. I've got on a bus going on up. We got up to that junction, and here, that man got on the bus, you know. There's 3 seats in that damn bus. The man and his family is in both of them, middle and back, just hiring the driver in front. Well, he called him Richardson, but I seen his well acquainted, and I said, over there, went on ahead for a couple of miles, a mile and a half. I said, I heard the driver call you Richardson. By any chance, are you Henry B. Richardson? Yes, is that my name? I said, I had a letter from you one time. I don't know if I usually remember writing it now or not. But I'm going to tell you, this is one time in your life you're mistaken. I'm a man that seldom ever writes a letter. When I do, I don't write somebody I don't know, and I don't know you. Well, I said, well, I'm not through yet talking. I said, Richardson, I have in mind, know something about, he has a colored man, his wife working for him. Well, he says, I'm that man. That's what you're on, you know. Well, I said, now I'm going to tell you. After all our talk, I still think you wrote to me. Now, wait till I tell you. Why? I'm the one you wrote to in North Carolina to have them come out here and work for you. He says, are you Elmer Wells? I says, that's me. He says, by God. He says, I wrote to you, all right. He says, I don't know where you're headed for. I told him, and you people up in Compton and Loomis and going up there to see what kind of country that was. He says, you and I are going up to Loomis by a hell of a lot. I have to go up to Compton and on business. And you coming home with me in the morning. They're going to see you in the morning. Well, now, they took up a homestead. He got him to take up a homestead to join him there. And plenty of land and level, and it had a lot of water going to waste. Where they bought lumber cheap, and the back went plot on that homestead, build a house on it, and lives over there, and come over and do the cooking for Richardson, you know. Well, he kept staying on working, and then we came together in a way that with some of the business, you know. Well, he finally got a lot of it cleared and put out in Orchard. Five or six years.
Mm-hmm.
Orchard, 3 or 4 years Orchard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the blue letters, two cutting the racket about the line fence, kind of come out and surveyed, and it took in about 1/3 of Richardson Pine Orchard. My God, he bought back out. He gave him $16,000 for his place and his own land back.
Richardson paid this guy off?
This nigger off. He come back to North Carolina, bought him a nice place, a good one. Farmed 1 year. He right across to the schoolhouse and then the church. All the other niggers had come over to his house to get something to eat. He's the only one. Plenty to eat. He got tired of feeding them all. He sold out and come back up there. Went to, bought him another place.
Back to Brewster?
Back to up there above Brewster. Okay.
Well, what about, did Joe Wells, did he do pretty good for himself out by Deary?
No, not very good. He getting drunk so often they arrest him and get in trouble, you know, be drunk. Raising the devil around. He never did do very good, and he didn't even want to.
You know, though, people out there talk about him some still. They remember him because he was the only Negro out there, you know, him and his family.
Yeah,
and they liked him pretty well.
My God, yeah, they all liked him. He was truthful and honest, my God. Yeah. His daddy raised him, you know, adopted him, took him as a slave and raised him, you know. He was a minister, a preacher, you know. So the boys wanted to come west, so he sold so much of his land, divided the money with them, and they all come together. And there's a lot of others come scattered everywhere. I know them everywhere around.
Well, I heard that Joe was really close to the Wells boys, to the other sons, that he got along good with them, spent a lot of time with them.
Well, God Almighty, yes, he thought a lot of the both of sure, for he's raised up with him, the boy worked with him right along, come west with him.
So you think he was pretty well accepted out there then?
He was, yes.
They didn't care that he was a Negro very much then.
Well, they didn't pay attention to that.
Did he? I heard he used to get in fights sometimes.
Oh, yes, he would. Yeah, yeah. He'd get drunk, get in a fight. Yeah. He'd hike out of town, stay out of town for a while, and he wouldn't do anything about it. He's just like some of the whites. We're doing that way today, you know.
Well, I heard he didn't get along with Hayes, Marshall there in Troy, and I heard that old Benson from Deary was a friend of his too, of Joe Wells's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard he stuck up for Benson against Marshall there, against Hayes. I don't know whether that's true or not.
Well, I don't know much about that, you know, but I had plenty of troubles of my own here, making a living. And he sold a bunch of stock, 4 cents a share. And he went to $58 a share later, made every one of them millionaires, made two of them millionaires here, you know. Made Short millionaire, you know. The old man Short, you know. Made him a millionaire, and this here other fellow, he bought some too, and made him a millionaire. But he died, and Short's wife died, so him and the other woman gets married then. And both of them, this one got rich off of that, my stuff, talk up there.
The guy's wife married Short, the guy that died, eh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
He must have been real rich then.
Oh, you damn know it. You don't know where they live, do you? But you know the old Mark Miller big home up on North Main, North Polk. Well, they live in the, not just across the street from there, but right across the street from there is where David lived, Howard David lived. Well, it's in the next block right south. They live first corner house. It's a half of the block that Howard lives in itself. Built a fine home, and that's where they both live.
And so he got rich off of Day's mining stock, eh?
Yes, sir. I got stock at 4 cents each. 4 cents. Well, now I was on the Milwaukee train coming back from a trip down in North Carolina, Georgia. And his contractor got on the train at Milwaukee, at St. Paul.
Who, Days?
No.
Oh, a contractor.
A contractor lives there in Minneapolis and St. Paul. He got birth right by me. So things hadn't gone good. It was very tough times then. So he told his wife he was going to go to Seattle, see what things looked like, and bought a round trip ticket. Well, we got to talk, and he said he's leaving on account of his health, on account of that lake there, you know, St. Paul, Minneapolis. I told him Seattle is the worst place this side of the hill. He's going, I told him to hell with Seattle. So I persuaded him to get off the train in Spokane with me. I told him I knew Spokane pretty good, and we can get off in Spokane. Well, I got him to get off with him in Spokane, went to bed together. Next morning, got up and had a meal. I showed him Spokane. Pretty good. Finally, I told him, let's go by the Chamber of Commerce and find out what the prospects are for building. Well, he told us that his prospects is pretty good. I knew this was the prospects were good. They're going to build in addition to St. Luke's Hospital and other. And this man told him about him getting off a train with him. He said he likes Spokane. He made up his mind to go to see there. He said he'd even take a job as a carpenter. But he made up his mind he's going to see in Spokane. Well, went back to the hotel. When I went into the hotel, they called me to the phone. I think said, who in the hell wants me? And I just got back in the east. Well, I went to the phone, there's a fellow over to the Chamber of Commerce wanting me to come up and bring that man back over there. The contractor over there wanted to see him. Went over there and he had a they went to one side and had quite a long talk there. He showed him his recommendations from the bank and back in Milwaukee. Where he hired him. He had the job to build the high school at Kellogg, and his foreman was sick in St. Luke Hospital. He was sweating blood that should be started on that building. So he hired him, sent him up on that job, $20 a day.
So he made good, eh?
Yeah, he went up there, and he did. He got quit, and the older fellows that had charge of it, they had bought some of that stock, you know, mining stock, and was holding it, and with the city's money for to build that building, where he went and bought that stock at 11 cents. And someone told me he'd better get all he could. By God, he got some more of it. By God, it made him a millionaire. Yeah.
Was this Day's stock or somebody else's?
It was Day's stock.
Day's, eh? Mm-hmm. Did you know Day before he struck it rich?
Hell yes.
What was he like before that? Was he trying to make money pretty hard?
Well, he had guts and he'd work hard. Yeah, trying to make a go out of it. And he happened to strike that up there and struck it pretty good, you know. By God, just made as much money as never didn't know what the hell to do with.
Did he have a hunch that it was going to be a big strike when he got this, when he started in on it, or was it just a guess, a wild guess?
It was a wild guess to just start, you know. But he noticed he had good ore, you know. Ass ain't run good. So by God, it turned out, as you know, how it did.
Was mining his job before he started in up there?
I don't know what he did before.
See what? About 10 of 5 there.
10 of 5?
10 of, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me see. Now, I know what I wanted to ask you about, too, was about the Democrats and Republicans in Moscow. Now, Will, you know Willa Carlson? You know Paul Carlson's wife? She told me you knew a lot about the old days in politics locally, you know.
I do.
I guess Democrats were pretty weak back in the old days in this county.
Yes, they were.
Mm-hmm. The Republicans run everything, eh?
Well, yes, the strong Republican is a horseradish you ever rode in Missouri. Well, I knew all about the records of the presidents.
Oh, I wasn't thinking of the national. I was thinking of the local, right here in town.
Yeah.
And that business.
Yeah, she.
Did you ever see what went on in around town here in the politics?
Well, God Almighty, I knew what was going on every day. All of them running for office and everything else. Chief police and everything.
Well, Will told me that you were a good Democrat and you didn't like the Republicans too much.
Well, if he's a good Republican, he's all right. But if any man is honest and truthful, that's all right. But I don't like a scoundrel, regardless of what nationality he is. But I tell you, they're going to call me for a meeting out there pretty quick now. It's 5 o'clock now.
Oh, okay. I thought we had about 10 minutes. I got about 10 of there. Mm-hmm. You want to talk for 10 minutes more, or should we quit now?
Well, I don't know which to say. And there's not too much, you know. I knew Mr. Carson, you know. Worked for him for a short time.
Well, I thought maybe you could tell me about some of the funny things that you saw happen in politics in town in the old days.
They used to have 5 saloons and 3 whorehouses. And everything was going high, wide, and handsome, you know. One of them was where the depot was at down here. On West 8th Street, right there, and then just across the street from it, another one, and then up the street, two houses away, 3 whorehouses, and 4 or 5 saloons, and girls from Spokane coming down here, doing well and having a hell of a time. Old George Creighton and another man here, they liked a couple of girls from well in Spokane. Told the landlady when they come again for them to hold them and not let somebody else have them. They want them. Let them know. Or she let them know that they're here. And these two come down. She told them what room she would go to. Which one? Whether it opened the door on the inside, turned on his light, and it was their own wife laying in bed there waiting for him. She was sure they'd quit stepping out on their own wives. Old Grace Freeman was running the place.
Did that teach him a lesson?
Not too much.
Well, what happened to them? Did they get shut down when Prohibition came in?
No, they closed them down before that. The city council here passed the law to stop them, you know. But they're still running them over Pullman, where a Methodist preacher here went over there to them to get them to stop them in Pullman. And give them quite a talking. So one of the city councilmen was there asking, how could he tell a wild woman from the others? Well, he said, anybody had any sense to tell them that? He said, you could smell them two blocks away. They just don't want to use perfume. They had one to use perfume. The others didn't.
Did most of the girls in the houses come in from Spokane? Did most of them come in from out of town?
They come from every direction, Pullman, they're from Lewiston, everywhere.
Did you ever get in there, those places? Were they nice inside?
Oh yeah, that's all right. Well, I guess I'd better go. Get ready to go to my supper.
Okay.